I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing in your life that is too hard for God and too big that you can't overcome and have victory over and through. It does require faith in God. And your faith has to be fed, and you have to make a choice to believe, and you have to make a choice to act and obey, step out on your beliefs. And any time that you get in a place in life where your situation just seems impossible and it just seems overwhelming, too hard, and you feel helpless and hopeless, it's not that it's too hard for God, it's that there's no faith. That's the problem. Hopelessness, fearfulness, depression, these are the results of no faith. But when you have faith, you have hope. Hallelujah. Confident expectation and a sure expectation. And when you have that, you have joy.
Yes.
And the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
And when you have faith, you have rest. We which have believed do enter into rest. And when you have rest, you have peace.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So when you're feeling agitated, hopeless, helpless, confused, it's not that it's even a big thing for God to fix. It's just there's a serious lack of faith. And the thing you got to do is to get out of that. Get out of that fear. Get out of that hopelessness. Get into faith. Get into confidence in God. How do you do that? You need to hear something.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You need to hear the anointed word of God. It goes right into your insides, right into your spirit, and it strengthens you and makes you strong. Let's receive that today.
Amen.
Father, all of us agree as touching this, asking for the utterance, for the anointing, for the grace, the eyes and ears and heart to see, hear, and receive exactly what you know we need right now. Strengthen us, Lord, with strength by your Spirit in our inner man. And we give you the praise for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Well, as we were talking on yesterday's lesson, that we are in the middle of giving 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And we're down to reason number 9 now. And I'll review just a little bit. In Psalm 23 is where we begin. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Don't you like that?
Yes.
And the rest of the psalm is talking about how the shepherd leads and guides and feeds and provides and protects and blesses his sheep. And what the Spirit of God through David is saying, what the shepherd is to the flock, that's what the Lord is to us. He takes care of us. Everybody said out loud, "The good Lord,
takes good care of me.
Hallelujah. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Other translations say, "The Lord is my good shepherd, I do not lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not be without any good thing." And another one says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. And so that's what we're camping on for weeks now. We're going to be on it for some time yet further. But is it true that it's always God's will for us to have abundance?
Yes.
Abundance of every good thing. Plenty. All needs met. And even good desires filled.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Is that Him?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Or, as a lot of people believe, more people believe this than what I just got through saying, that, you know, God uses poverty, He uses lack, hard times to teach us things, to bring us closer to Him. Well, is that true?
No.
More people believe that than what I'm teaching right now. But the big question is, what is it based on? Is it based on thus saith the Lord? Is it based on it is written? Or is it the ideas of men that have been formulated over the years, religious traditions of men that the Lord warned actually make the Word of God of none effect in your life? Because if you believe that and you're so convinced of that, you won't even listen to what the Word says. Well, then the Word has no effect on you.
Right.
Now, that's terrible.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes,
saying you believe in God and you won't listen to what He has to say, but you believe goofy ideas that men have made up about Him that's contrary to what He said about Himself. Say it out loud, Lord.
Lord,
help me not to do that.
Ever.
Amen. But it'll take some discipline that any time something comes up, somebody says, it's this way, or God is this way, or this is the will of God, don't just believe it.
Right.
Examine it. Question it. Where did that come from?
Right.
What does the Word say? And so that's why we're saying that these 30 reasons, this is not reason and logic of men. These are scriptures. And you notice, if you've been with us, we're giving you lots of scriptures. And so, I mean, before this is over and through, hundreds and hundreds of scriptures. Is that what your belief should be based on?
Yes.
Yes. I'm glad you agree. Well, our first one was the Lord is my shepherd. Then number two was the goodness of God. Number three, the fatherhood of God. Number four, the creation of God. Number five, God's will in heaven. Number six, the God of Abraham. Number seven, we are the seed of Abraham. And number eight, the blessing of tithing. And a lot of time we've already been into that. And if you weren't with us, go online, faithschool.org, and it's all there. You can watch it, listen to it, no charge, no cost. You don't have to commit to anything or sign up for anything. Just go enjoy it. The Lord and our partners have made it available at no charge. We're down to number nine today. Anybody want to continue and get another reason? Number nine, go to 1 Samuel, the second chapter, and then I think we'll be looking at Proverbs, the third chapter. 1 Samuel, and then we're looking at Proverbs chapter 3. Our ninth reason in our study of our 30 reasons is we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of honor and riches. Honor and riches. Now, when you say that, that sounds strange to people because people have been taught, well, you know, riches, that's a secular, base, natural thing, and you shouldn't even include that in the same thought with honor and honor of God. I didn't include it. God did. I didn't hook them together. He did. The word rich is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad word.
Amen.
It's a good word.
Yes.
Good is a four-letter word.
That's right.
Yes.
Right?
Am I right? G-O-O-D.
Yeah.
R-I-C-H. I was teaching on some of these things, not exactly like this, but along some of these lines. Oh, this would have been 20, 30 years ago. And a man met me out in a parking lot after I got through speaking. Oh, he was livid. He was so mad. He was upset. I had been using the word rich in what I was teaching. Rich, rich. And I guess every time I used it, it was like slapping him. He was so mad. He said, "That's not right. That's not right. All this stuff about rich." He said, "That's not right." I said, "Well, which scripture didn't you like?" That made him even madder. Because is rich in the Bible?
Yes.
R-I-C-H. Is that a Bible word?
Yes.
Well, you're going to see as we spend time on this, it certainly is. And it's God's idea. But the reason why people get so mixed up and messed up like that is the devil hates any of God's people having anything to do with rich. Oh, he hates it. He is a thief. And he is a liar and deceiver. He's a manipulator. He wants to control everything. And in this world, money is influence. And money is ability. And who is it that wants the church to have no influence and no ability? Not even have a place to meet in. Much less be able to spend a bunch of money and send the gospel out or get the gospel out. Oh, the devil hates it. Hates it. The story of Job portrays it. The devil was just, he was chafed because a righteous man was the richest man in all the land. Job, by today's standards, would be a multi-billionaire. Maybe more. I mean, he was the richest man, and there were some super wealthy people, and he was richer than them. And the devil had been going around God's protection and hedge, trying to get to him, trying to hurt him, trying to steal from him, and he couldn't. And without going into all that, you know, it's a whole big study within itself. But Job made some mistakes. And he yielded to fear. And he said some wrong things. And he judged God unfair. That was his biggest mistake. And, you know, even a righteous person can make mistakes.
Yes.
Huh? Because you don't know everything. And, but... You know, he in the end, he saw it. Job saw it, you know, and towards the end of the book, he said, I've spoken once, I've spoken twice, but I'm going to put my hand over my mouth. I'm going to shut up. Because he said some wrong things about God. And he said, I repent. I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And the Bible said when he did that, God delivered him, God healed him, and gave him twice as much as what he lost. Well, he was a billionaire before this happened. Twice as much. But what was the whole thing about? The devil hates a righteous, godly man or woman in the earth because they are a light to everybody around them. They are an influence in the earth. And if there's anything he hates worse than that, it's a rich, righteous. Now, this is important.
Yes. Right.
This is a, yeah, I'm telling you something that I wondered for decades. Because, you know, we've been in the ministry now 44 years or so. And when we first began to preach that God is a good God and he wants you to have some things, never saw such persecution. Oh, people said the ugliest things about me. And I was such a heretic and this and that because I said the Lord is good and he wants you to have good things and he'll meet your needs. And he even will give you richly all things to enjoy. Richly, it's a scripture. Enjoy. It's a scripture, right? But you'll find people will get fighting, biting, mad. About why? What's going on? What do they care? I'm not taking money out of their pocket. What do they care? They care because the devil cares.
Yes.
He hates righteous influence, and oh, he hates worse, rich, righteous. Ah, makes him cuss. He can't stand it. He can't stand it. Which is all the reason why you want to be that.
Yes.
That's exactly what you want to be.
Yes.
Righteous and rich. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You want to be a bright, shining light of right and good and truth and God and plenty of money and resources to tell everybody and put it on every channel and every medium and out to everybody. Does God want this good news preached or not? Does He want it out or not? He wants it out. Well, you know, in this world that takes resources. But the Scripture connects the two thoughts, honor, and that same word is translated glory. Honor and riches. Glory and riches. Really? Yeah. It's something that's almost been lost from most of the church. But I'm not telling you my opinion. We're going to read scriptures. You ready?
Yes.
1 Samuel 2 and 29 and 30. If you read this entire chapter, it's talking about offerings. And Eli's sons were ungodly. And they were abusing the offerings of the Lord. They actually were stealing them. They were stealing the offerings of the Lord, treating them like they were their own. And I won't go into it, but bad, bad stuff. And the Lord warned them and they wouldn't listen to Him. But in 1 Samuel 2:29, the Lord said to Eli, He said, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering?" Now the reason I preface that is this whole thing, the context of it is offerings, giving, the Lord's offerings. He said, "Which I've commanded in my habitation, and you honor your sons above me to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." The Lord had made provision for the priests to have a lot, plenty of stuff. There was no reason for them to steal other offerings. And yet they did. "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed, that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." This is a phrase that's known by, or at least has been heard by a lot of church-going people. "Them that honor me, I will honor." But many have not understood it's said in connection with offerings, money, gifts, offerings. And when the Lord says honor, He's talking about specifically, now it gets broader than that, of course, but specifically speaking in this chapter, He's saying, you honor me with the offerings and with your handling of them. And I will honor you in the results of faith and honorable giving, which is increase.
Right.
Honor. Now the word honor, in fact, we'll go to Proverbs 3 and I'll just say it when we get there. But the word honor is literally the word for heavy or weighty. And it's the idea of substantial or important, significant, that which is treated as important and most important, that which is revered, that looking at something as very valuable. Would that be right? Say it like that then. Those who treat me and my things as very valuable. I will bless and treat as very valuable.
Yes.
But those who lightly esteem me and treat my things like they're not valuable, like they're insignificant, like they don't matter, like they're nothing, they will be treated as insignificant. You and I will be treated in the same way we treat God. And nothing could be more fair than that.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Nothing could be more fair than that. If you want to see your whole life come up, everything good in your life come up to a whole nother level of good and increase in blessing, then increase your respect for God. Increase your honor for Him, His words, His spirit, His church, His people. Y'all with me?
Yes.
His things.
Yes.
Is there room to grow
yes.
in this? It's a choice. Revelation's involved in it as well. But it's a choice to see and speak about and treat Him and His things as the most important. Right?
Right.
The most significant thing that's happening in the earth today. The preaching of the gospel is the most important thing happening on planet earth, period.
Amen.
Nothing else even comes close.
Yes.
Somebody said, what about souls? That's what I said.
Yes. Right.
Nobody's That's saved right. without the gospel.
Right.
God has ordained that men and women be saved through what the world calls the foolishness
mm-hmm.
of preaching the gospel. And so how we ought to revere it, not to be in a frightened, tense, stuffy, staid thing. I'm not talking about that, but just genuine respect, genuine valuing and esteeming. And that comes from the heart. It's either in your heart or it's not. It can be if you'll open yourself up to it. And even if you do have some, it can grow.
Yes,
I said it can increase. You interested in that?
Yes.
Then everybody said out loud, Father God,
Father,
I choose
to honor you
and your things.
And your people
above everything else.
Teach me
the fear of the Lord,
the honor of God.
I want your priorities
to be my priorities,
and your values
to be my values.
I ask for it.
Reveal it in me
and to me.
Work it in me
and through me.
I ask it
in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. You'll see some good things from that. You have to, anytime He shows you something, it'll still be your choice as to whether you'll go with it or not. But if you have a heart for it, you'll increase and grow. In Proverbs 3:9. What we're talking here is reason number 9 in our study. Why we're sure it's abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Because of honor and riches. They are connected, God says. Not my idea. Not honor and poverty. Not glory and lack. There's nothing glorious about starving to death. Huh? There's nothing glorious about not being able to pay your bills. Not having something decent to wear. Not being able to go and do what you need to do because of lack of resources. There's nothing honorable or glorious about that. Proverbs 3 says this, 3:9. Honor the Lord with your substance. Now, we should honor the Lord with our words, but that's not what He said here. It's not what He's talking about. Right? Certainly, you should honor the Lord in your heart. Honor the Lord in your mind, your thoughts. Honor the Lord in your choices, in your words, what you say, how you talk about Him and His things. He's not talking about that here. Of course, if it's in your heart, it'll show up here too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Well, in poverty, you don't have increase.
That's right.
Hmm? So this, how you going to honor the Lord with your substance and you ain't got no substance? Huh? Yeah, it's always been remarkable to me that, you know, some people have wanted to take me to task sometime because I believe in abundance. And they say, well, you should give to the poor. Give what? To the poor. Right? Got to have something.
Yes.
I'm supposed to be broke. I'm supposed to be poor, but I'm supposed to help the poor. Is that helping myself? It doesn't make sense. Right? The more resources I have, the more I can do for other people,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The more I can do for the gospel,
yes.
And the church.
Yes.
But people are deceived, and their thinking is wrong, and it's been removed from Scripture. Said out loud, honor the Lord,
honor the Lord.
With your substance.
With your substance.
Now the next verse says, the result of that, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. So this is not lack.
That's right.
This is your storage places running out of room.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
This sounds like other scriptures we've read. This sounds like Malachi and tithing. Right?
Right?
And it's connected to what? Honoring the Lord with your substance, your stuff. And next thing you know, you honored Him. He honored you, right?
Amen.
And your barns are overflowing.
Amen.
And your presses are bursting out.
Yes.
The NIRV says, honor the Lord with your wealth. And that is the word, that word translated substance in the King James is 17 times translated wealth or riches in the same King James Bible. Honor the Lord with your wealth. And it's just as accurate to say, honor the Lord with your riches. Well, you got to have some riches to honor the Lord with your riches.
Amen.
That's
right.
Honor the Lord with your riches. Give Him the first share of all your crops. Then your storerooms will be so full they can't hold everything. And your huge jars will spill over with fresh wine. And we're out of time again. Oh, somebody say, I will
honor the Lord
with my substance.
With my substance.
And He will,
honor me
with plenty.
With plenty.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, sure enjoy being with you on these. And we'll see you again soon right back here in Faith School.
I've got the
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390